Hi, welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors. Whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales, we hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Hey, hi Thibaut. How are you? Great to have you join us today. How are you guys keeping?
Everything okay? What about you?
Not too bad. all coping with the situation as best we can. Mm-hmm. Really great for you to join us today. We're going to be talking about one of the topics that seems to be written about most at the moment, as far as hotels are concerned, which is don't drop your rates.
That's a big topic, yeah.
So just a big topic to touch on. Mm-hmm. But to help the viewers to kind of understand why we're talking to you about this topic, if you could just give us a bit of an introduction to yourself and your company, that would be great.
Okay. So my name is Thibaut. I'm French, as you have recognized in my accent, most probably. So I have experience in revenue management for the last 10 years. I've worked with IAG in Europe, in Paris, in Portugal, and in different countries across Europe. And then I moved with Four Seasons for 2 years when I was looking after revenue management for hotels in Singapore, China, and Japan. Okay. Some experience in Asia and in Europe. And then for the last 2 years, I came back to London, to Europe, to create my own company of revenue management. Mm-hmm. So now we are looking after a several portfolio of hotels across Europe, where we do outsource revenue management, as well as consulting, trainings, and workshops, and every kind of stuff related to revenue management.
Excellent.
And quite a first for me, this kind of a crisis, but definitely some few things that we can implement and improve in most of the times.
Absolutely. Well, as a revenue manager with that level of experience and working with different hotels in different regions, you're probably well placed to be able to talk around this topic of don't drop your rates.
Yeah.
So let's kind of kick it off and maybe, you know, a very basic question. You know, when we're talking about don't drop your rates, what are we actually saying there? What's the real drivers behind this?
Yeah, I mean, like, as hotels are going to reopen in the next few weeks, few months, depending on different countries, I believe we are going to see, everyone is expecting a V-shaped recovery, where they reopen and boom, you go back to 80, 90% occupancy overnight.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
No, yeah, I guess so. But unfortunately, I believe it will be more a gradual recovery when you see, like, a slow re-increase of occupancy, when you see like 8%, 10% and so on. So the first normal reaction from any owner or GM will be, okay, so occupancy is very low, demand is very low, we're going to drop our rate to try to increase our demand and increase our occupancy because we have costs that we need to break even and we need to re-increase this demand.
Okay.
It's kind of for overall and basic thinking of when you drop your rates, you increase your demand.
So economic 101, supply and demand.
100%.
Yeah. No back demand, lots of supply, bring the price down.
Yeah, back to schools, economy, supply and demand, drop the rate, you increase your demand. However, it doesn't work this way in this kind of situation. And I believe we're going to touch base on this one later on.
Yeah.
Dropping your rate, it means that dropping your rate, you can drop your rate. But it means that if you are selling your product at £500 a night usually, I'm saying like don't drop your rate to 100 or £50, okay? So maintain your right positioning. That will be the key. And don't go below because we have seen it historically in different countries that this kind of practice, when you start to go in a different rate positioning or when you start dropping your rate, then your competitor will drop their rate, then their own competitor will drop their rate, and so on. And it will lead
it's to like a domino effect.
100%. Domino effect, race to the bottom. That's the worst thing that can happen to any market.
So what we're really talking about here, and I think this is why I just wanted to kind of get you on. And I'm sure every revenue professional out there kind of gets the message, but sometimes I feel when we see articles in the press, it seems very binary. You know, don't drop your rates.
Yeah.
But what we're not saying is what we're saying here is, well, of course, we're going to have to do something with our pricing. But if you're in a 5-star, don't shift your rate into,
what might be a 4-star or might be a 3-star, you know, and don't go across your different sectors for want of a better term. Yeah. There will probably need to be some flexibility. Is that right?
Yeah, 1%. That's what I mean. I remember, like, when we talked a few days ago, I was thinking, like, everyone can sell a Ferrari for the price of a Toyota.
Yeah.
So if you have a Ferrari, let's say like you're a 4-season, don't sell it for the price of an Holiday Inn or something like a Formula One. I don't know. Maintain your brand positioning, your price positioning in your market, even if it's slightly more aggressive. But keep in mind the market and see where you play at. And remember, like, your usual price positioning is between, I don't know, Ritz-Carlton and Four Seasons. And you see, like, they start to drop. So maintain this price positioning within the market. Don't go below and try to attract other demand, because it will not attract other demand.
Gotcha. Okay. No, that's useful, because I think sometimes it is that nuance in the message that can sometimes be lost. Now, a lot of the times when people are talking about this subject, they're often referring back to historical situations. Mm-hmm. Now, this situation is quite unique to some of previous events, although maybe reflected a little bit in Asia. Yeah. Then we had the financial crisis. What are you kind of aware of, you know, as an expert in the field, of evidence out there that supports this view of just be careful what you're doing with your rates?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the first point of reference, I will go back to, I don't know if you know Sherry Kimes, in revenue management, professor in revenue management at Cornell. Mm-hmm. She has made a lot of studies, surveys, and analysis on why we shouldn't drop the rate. Okay. And it has been proven that some people were dropping the rate, and where the market has been leading to a race to the bottom, market recover slower in ADR in the long term. Okay, so that's my first point of reference to go back to any article. If you just Google Sherry Kimes crisis management, first management, you will see a lot of data to back up why you shouldn't drop your rate. Mm-hmm. And then I will refer back to the performance in the US after the 9/11, and as well as after the 2008 financial crisis.
Okay.
So first, 9/11 performance. So if you look at the luxury rates, I'm referring back to
that. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So if you look at the 9/11 performance luxury rates in September 2000, the rate was around $235 USD. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the same rate in September 2002, the rate was at $213. So you already had a drop of ADR.
Yeah.
And then if you look at 2008 financial crisis, December 2007, rates for luxury market was at 325, and 2010 it was at 287. So in both scenario, you have seen a drop of ADR.
Yeah.
But if you look at the time between 2007, 2010, and 2000 and 2002, we have seen a positive demand and a positive recovery in both revenue and occupancy, but rates continue to suffer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So rate was something which will take longer to recover, and people were dropping the rate super fast, like from 300 to 50. I don't know. Will have difficulties to recover in ADR. And again, ADR is very important for your profitability. It's very important for your market share, for your RGI. So I still believe, like, you can drop your rate, but don't do it too much, because you will pay the consequences later on.
No, that makes sense. And I think that comes back. It's interesting what you were saying and picking up on your earlier point about tracking the market, and not dropping too far. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a little bit of human psychology that also comes into this. Because inherently, you know, we kind of sit here as consumers, and there'll be different markets that will come back at different times. And maybe we can touch on that a little bit in a moment as well. But, you know, I look at it and think, well, you know, the hotels are going to be needing guests. The airlines are going to want people flying. So I'm going to hold out for a better deal. Yeah. So I guess there's often a little bit of lag maybe that is existing of people waiting for those deals to come through, and there's got to be that tension that exists between, well, how long do I hold my rate until everyone starts to drop it? And I guess if you're getting pressure from owners and GMs as well, because they're not seeing the demand or the pickup, that just adds to that tension. Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%. We have pressure from owners. From if you are working with brands, you may have from the corporate office and different brands, from any kind of operation. Because again, we have been helping our clients running a lot of break-even analysis. So now they know exactly how much they need to do zero. Mm-hmm. And if this number in terms of occupancy, let's say, normally overall, I think it's between 25%, 35%, up to 40% occupancy that we need to break-even to do not even plus, just like zero. So if we are below this margin, it means that you are losing money. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's where the stress starts to kick in, which I completely understand. Mm-hmm. Now, you need also to understand what kind of travelers you will see post COVID-19. And that's going back to the essence of why dropping the rate or not.
Yep.
And the first one I would say, like the first type of traveler will be people who are itching to go out of their house and to to travel again and to start exploring again.
Yeah.
And those type of traveler are actually not very price sensitive. So they're not looking for a discount or they're not looking for a cheap rate. They just want to go out. They just want to travel.
It's funny. One of our expert partners, Oki, they wrote an article a few weeks ago called The Revenge Traveler.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to get you back for keeping me locked in.
100%. I agree. I fully agree. And people are itching. They just want to go. They're just a bit pissed off with a flight because I don't find any flight to travel. But if they were, I believe they would be traveling.
Yeah.
So, that's
so you were saying they're not so sensitive. They're just driven by the emotion to want to get out. Price is less of an issue for them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's just kind of traveler would be the first one to recover, as you mentioned last time, with domestic market first, and then corporate, and then international. I mean, that's the usual one.
Yeah.
And then you have another type of travelers who still want to travel, but have a lot of anxiety because of the situation. So they will still be looking at the health and safety measures, but they will still not be looking for a discount. And actually, in some cases, I believe people will pay a premium to have this kind of privacy. And
I think that's a good point. I was wondering whether there would be an ability to hold the price if you got your messaging around health and safety strong.
Correct. You know, like some hotels, I've heard some hotels in Norway or Sweden who have pledges, who have pledged outside publicly, and that they're not going to sell more than 30% of the occupancy, just to guarantee the privacy of hotel guests, to make sure there is no crowded breakfast or crowded public spaces, and to guarantee the safety and health and safety of the staff and the customers.
No, that makes sense. And that feeds in a little bit to another question I had. Maybe maybe that example in Scandinavia might answer some way towards this, because if I'm looking at it, I'm not a revenge traveler. Well, I probably would be more of a revenge traveler. Probably my wife fits into the maybe the health and safety criteria. Yeah. So if I recognize that as long as the experience is going to be the same, and I think this is where I have a question mark from a consumer, and where it's interesting to get your view from a revenue management point of view. If I'm looking at going to stay at a hotel, but maybe the spa's no longer open, maybe there are only certain times, certain room numbers can be sitting around the pool.
Yeah.
Maybe the restaurant isn't open and it's only room service. There's a degree at which I'm now no longer getting the full experience I would expect for the full price.
Yeah.
So I would probably look for some sort of recognition from the hotel that we realize we can give you the best experience we possibly can because that's our culture. But we also understand because of constraints, we can't give you everything. So there must be an element there of having to adjust your pricing or your messaging accordingly. Would that be right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it goes back to your rate positioning and your market positioning. And again, I will suggest that if you have less amenities or less features than usual, to go back doing your kind of an audit and a value assessment audit, you know, value price assessment tool, in a way that where you identify where you should be playing in your market. And then if you usually play between the Four Seasons and the Ritz-Carlton, but now you have your spa is not open, your tennis club is not open, so you have much less features than you usually have, Mm-hmm. Review your value compared to what the market is currently offering, and yep. then adjust your price positioning. Okay,
no,
so it's not the same as dropping your rates. It's just meaning that you change your rate positioning. So it makes sense. You have all the data behind to back up your new price positioning, because of XYZ.
And I think that's the point that comes back to what we were saying at the beginning, that yes, to just say don't drop your rates is very simple thing to do, but logically, I mean, it's not actually practical advice. It's more nuanced behind how you are positioning your pricing to Correct. The market. Yeah. And I guess your example that you were saying in Scandinavia that almost possibly enables them to hold up their price, because if they know what occupancy they need to break even, and if they know that they could, that by selling maybe 40% of their occupancy, they could make a little bit of profit. By doing that operationally, they could open their restaurant, open their tennis club, their pool, whatever it may be. So they can offer that full facility, and backed in with that is the security around the social distancing and the privacy. Then in a way that, having worked out that cost base,
you can understand
You can understand how to position your occupancy levels to enable you to hold your price. So then as the restrictions are released and you can start to bring more people in, you're holding your price point. Yeah.
Or it could also be a marketing gimmick in a way, because you know that you're not going to achieve more than 30-40% occupancy anyway. So you're just putting out there that you're doing 30%, but that's something.
If that's the case, then credit to them as well.
Yeah. No, but I see your point. If you have your calculation in the back, you know how much you need to break even. Then if you know that you are going to do maximum 30%, you can plan your staff, plan your cost, plan everything else based on this maximum 30%. So you adjust your cost and you adjust your operation to make sense with the 30%. So yeah, in both cases, even if it's a marketing gimmick or if it's data behind, in both cases, it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense. And how, I mean... One of the questions that often looked at, and it's, you know, we don't want to go into detail around the technology side, but obviously, you know, whether someone's sitting there with a RMS or someone's sitting there with an Excel spreadsheet pulling together, from your perspective advising hotels, and they're obviously drawing on your expertise, how are you utilizing this challenge of limited historical data to help the broader discussion around the pricing, and it not just being concept related, for instance, but also what is the data telling you?
No, I have a very good tool to forecast revenue in this kind of situation. Let me see it. So yeah, we have no idea. And actually we have tried to build our own model of forecasting algorithm. We are using Excel and historical data. I can tell you like a thousand of models, like a moving average, regression analysis, ARIMA. You have a lot of different models that we have tried, and none of them were giving us a true picture. It kind of reduced uncertainty, but if you look at the projection, it goes all down or it goes all up, and it doesn't make any sense. That's a new thing that no one really understands, neither the technology. RMS or being Excel with the mathematics behind. We are saying it's a black swan of events that no one has no idea
exactly
how to react and how it will be in the next few months. So very, very hard to forecast. However, where we have seen some results with our clients was mostly doing different scenarios. Let's say like you prepare for V-shaped recovery, base case scenario, you prepare for gradual recovery, and then you prepare for second wave, which would be the worst case.
So the V, U, and W, I guess, are the shapes. So the V being the quick recovery, the U being the slightly longer recovery, and the W kind of allowing for a second peak. That puts us back down again. Yeah,
exactly. And for us, the one that we prefer, and I believe the more realistic approach, will be, you know, the Nike logo, the swoosh.
Yeah. Okay, the Nike zoom.
That's what I see as a recovery.
Okay, that's interesting. Yep.
So that's, we have different plan in place and different forecast model for those kind of recoveries. And depending on the data and depending on the pace and everything, we are going to adjust our strategy and tactics based on different scenarios. So we don't stick to one model, but we have different one and we are ready to kick in with different, with plan A, B, C, and D, and Z. But we have different plan in place.
One other area to talk about when we're considering pricing, and this is potentially the last piece of business to come back, which is around meetings, events, groups business. There was an article I saw yesterday in Skift about, you know, hotels aren't going to like the direction of corporate rates, whether it be, you know, room rates or whether it be groups or event related. I mean, these guys are tough negotiators. What do you, and again, this is a very specific area and probably relevant to a lot more city center properties than it may be resorts. But I know in the Middle East, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, big meetings and event space as well. What do you, I know a lot of your, lot more of your clients are sort of Europe, UK, so we won't talk to the Middle East specifically, but what do you see and what's your take on where pricing will go from a meetings and events side of things?
I think like there are two parts in your question. The first part is linked to corporate and the second part maybe more to meeting space, MICE and so on. First with corporate, transient, I will say it will be very slow recovery. First, there is no RFP season this year, so no one is bidding for anything this year, which is a very, very tough year. And then the financial recession, if there is any, may lead to some cuts in a travel budget for most of the corporate. So corporate will be slow to recover. However, we may see some a new trend in corporate where people, I say like Google wants to still travel to London. However, they want to ensure the health and safety of their staff. And we can see that Google may be exclusively taken one hotel for their staff. So let's say like we only choose one hotel and we put all our staff inside. So that's kind of a new trend that we could see for the corporate travelers.
So they actually buy out the whole hotel?
For example.
Just
to make sure like if you travel, that's the hotel that you need to come. Instead of spreading out in different hotels and spreading jams and everything. So that's where we should be. So corporate, I see that's kind of trend, but I believe it will be highly impacted this year. So we need to look for diversification and different channels, different segments to make sure we recover from the corporate. And then you have more than MICE meetings and events, which will be very complicated this year. And this one, I believe we may see some recovery towards maybe Christmas, when you have the Christmas staff party or a bit more, or maybe sooner than later, the weddings that was postponed in the last few weeks, few months. This one will happen. Maybe not the big fat wedding that they initially planned, but still some weddings. And that could be one way of recovering. But I believe the meeting and events will be more towards 2021.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you have some events that have been postponed from 2020 to 2021, conferences, Euro Cup, you have a lot of things. So I believe there will be some drivers, demand driver for next year. But yeah.
And again, a lot of, again, you've also got that decision around a pricing point, because if you as a hotel have restrictions, then you obviously have smaller numbers coming in that you can accommodate, or to accommodate the number that the corporate wants for its meeting, you have to use up more of your space. Plus, back to the health and safety element, there is a responsibility on those setting up the meeting for the people attending. But where does that cost sit in terms of the additional cost the hotel has to bear in terms of you know, making sure those provisions are in place? I mean, as you say, I know you can't, we can't talk to it specifically. I mean, it just shows the level of complexity around that particular that particular aspect of the business, isn't it?
No, it's a very tough one. And again, considering that we are going to see much lower occupancy in the next few months than usual, maybe if you have a group request, if any, You made exclusively sales hotel for this group. Let's say like
you, that's a good point. Back to your Google point, but you're only selling out 30% of your hotel, so sell it all out. Yeah.
If you look at your displacement analysis, you will find out that you are only displacing a few transients. Mm-hmm. So it makes more sense to give a potential buyout to a group, even if you are empty and or not empty, even if you are selling only at 70%.
Yeah.
But your cost analysis and your displacement will make more sense, and actually we'll see maybe if it's it can be a decision maker or decision factor for the group.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we've got a lot being written in the UK about the schools going back, and so schools are creating these little bubbles.
Yeah.
So where children stay within mm-hmm. this kind of this collective group mm-hmm. in this certain part of the school with a teacher, and they can't go into other areas for fear of the cross contamination.
Yeah.
So in a way, what you're saying there is the hotel almost creates a bubble mm-hmm. for that group.
Yep.
Yeah. No, there's some logic.
I mean, again, you see, we are bouncing a lot of ideas, but I think this kind of time, as no one has no idea what's going on or what's going to happen, it's a time for creativity.
Yeah.
And I love the creativity that we have seen in different hotels with new revenue streams, with new approaches, health and safety measures. So I think in this time of survival, for a lot of hotels with the cash flow and everything, it unlocks your creative mind, and we find out some new ideas, some new approaches. So I really like this time. It's hard to say, but I really like this kind of movement and mindset.
I think you're right. It's trying to find that silver lining to a very dark cloud, and people are finding those silver linings, and we are. But I guess by nature, you often see that in industries, isn't it? It's at their greatest challenge. They find ways of being more innovative and creative.
100%. Yeah.
So that's it is heartening to see those opportunities developing. Is there any are there any kind of final points in and around this? I mean, you know, it's a very narrow topic, mm-hmm. very nuanced topic. Mm-hmm. I think we've covered most of the areas, but is there anything that we've missed, or any final kind of message you would be passing on to your hotel guests and or hotel clients, and therefore anyone listening around the pricing mm-hmm. point?
No, but I really encourage everyone to find out more about don't drop your rate and why there's some data and behind what we're seeing about don't drop your rate. Maybe look at different alternatives if you still want to drop your rate. So that kind of obscuring your rate, stay free, pay two. So to see that's kind of obscuring your rate, so still do some discounts and added value on your packages. But maintaining your front end pricing in line with your rate positioning.
Yes.
So that can be different alternatives that you can explore. But again, this kind of don't drop your rate is more a market movement. So if you talk to any competitor, GM, and so on, make sure they are aware of this don't drop your rate strategy, because you can start with one small hotel in a bag. They say like, I don't care, I'm just dropping my rate. So it's more a market collective approach.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important for the future recovery of any countries and any cities in post COVID-19.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think, you know, we've looked back to the 9/11, we've looked back to the financial. I mean, obviously we had SARS over in Asia as well. Mm-hmm. And probably that's a greater parallel, because with the financial crisis, you then had a situation where people were financially affected. Mm-hmm. And depending on the different groups, different countries, support that's been provided by governments, some have been quite heavily financially hit, and some will lose their jobs. But there are also some people who still will come back to work, have been supported, and will want to go and spend some money. So there will be travelers, there will be a return. I think all of this then gets thrown all up in the air the moment someone says we've got a cure mm-hmm. or we've got a vaccine, because I think everyone's sitting there mm-hmm. planning for a situation where it can't be cured. There is no single cure. There is no single vaccine.
It's a new normal.
Yeah, but the moment that arrives, suddenly I could see everybody almost reverting back to type, just saying, okay, well, fine, we'll go.
Let's go. Plus, as well, I mean, I'm currently sitting in Austria, but the moment the shops reopened, people were flooding the shops.
Really?
So you see, in different countries, you had a lot of help from the government, mm-hmm. and people were sitting at home and not spending anything. So they have some, in some cases, if they, in some cases, they have some money to spend.
Yes.
So as we go back to what you mentioned about revenge traveling, revenge spending, I believe that could be the base case scenario that we could see next week.
Well, as you say, that's one of the first markets that's going to recover, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny talking about queues. I mean, we've had pictures in the press here about people queuing up just to go to a particular fast food outlet.
Yeah, we'll not mention the brand.
We won't mention the brand. And also, I read something that people have been queuing for 2.5 hours to go to a Swedish furniture company.
That's an easy one.
And it's like, why is there so much demand for flat pack furniture and burgers?
Yeah. they didn't spend for a few weeks, and they were stuck inside. So the first thing I want to do is to spend. You know, I would tell you something I just told before the call. I went to Altstadt in Austria last weekend, mm-hmm. Because normally this place is flooded by Chinese and Asian and a lot mm-hmm. of tourists in normal days. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, maybe it will be empty. So let's go. That's a good opportunity to revisit Austria and to kind of take advantage of the lockdown to have to visit some places. Mm-hmm. And when we went there, it was packed of Austrian.
Really? Right. Yeah. So that was the domestic market.
So domestic market takes this opportunity to visit places that usually don't have the opportunity to see. Uh-huh. So I believe it could be the same trend in London, Paris, or anything. With the Louvre, which normally is packed with tourists. Maybe now they're going to reopen only with French people rediscovering the city.
Yeah.
So actually, it's the best time to rediscover your own city and to take advantage of maybe lower traffic and lower demand to revisit your own country.
Very good point. Very good point. Good point. Good point to end on.
Yeah, I mean the last point on this, and I think it's very important to make sure we still see some positivity in this world, and we keep optimistic about the recovery.
Yeah.
I think it's very important. We have seen a lot of sad news, a lot of very complicated situation.
Absolutely.
But I'm still very optimistic that the hospital industry will bounce back. And I still want to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So that's something I would like to share with everyone.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good way to end it. Always a pleasure talking to you. Always enjoy our conversations. Really appreciate you finding the time to sit here and talk about a very specific but a very important topic. So thanks again.
I think we connect so well, Trevor. We have the same record.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant to talk with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Trevor.
Take care.
Cheers.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.